This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
On the third day of Drunksmith, my true love gave to me three nicknames for Tom, two lushy ladies, and a beanbag to throw at Maud.
Welcome everyone to day three of Drunksmith of the Half Hour Happy Hour Ladies Night. I'm Alison Haslett.
I'm Maud Garrett. And for the next 30-ish minutes, we are going to be sipping some news and spitting some booze.
Yes,
because
we are.
This is Drunksmith.
It is Drunksmith. Of course, we're doing it with Tom, helping hands. Kraevsky, who's winking a whole
already?
Lot at me.
She hates when I wink.
And are I'm very excited to introduce our guest who's here and ready to drink.
Yeah. He's so excited.
He's so drunk. He BYOB'd.
He
us.
Did.
I did.
Ladies and gentlemen, none other than Troy Baker.
Troy.
Woo. And you brought like a really nice
so
bottle.
Here's the deal. I texted you this too. I was like, all right, if I'm going to be the early guest, which means I know where this is headed.
Yes.
And it always starts off classy and let's do something today.
We're doing
today.
Just fine.
And then it always devolves into, as
Tom
I said.
Tom and I have only fought once, so.
Really?
We didn't fight today. You were just wrong about something.
It's okay. We both agreed you were wrong.
Mom, Dad.
You're right in the middle of this. I love that picture.
Yeah.
So I said before it devolves into Fireball and Boone's Farm, let's start off with a little bit. You know what? You said that. You side with too much familiarity. Familiarity with that. That was
Fireball. Last time I drank Fireball, I woke up with a boyfriend. Bottoms
Ooh,
up.
Wow.
Cheers to
that.
Let's get her some Fireball.
We're not drinking Fireball. What did you bring us?
So I did bring a beautiful bottle of bourbon, Basil Hayden's, but I'll be honest with you. Let's take a sip.
Yeah. Take a sip. Cheers, guys.
Basil Hayden's.
Mm-hmm. Boom. Mm.
Mm-hmm. You can really taste the basil.
And the Hayden's.
Yeah.
That is my second choice.
Oh,
my
wait.
First. My first choice
Why
is
do we
always
get your second choice bourbon?
If there's a story here.
If you're
there?
New, there is always a story.
Yeah.
If you're new to bourbon, you're new to burdens. It's a great drink. If you're new to bourbon, you can never go wrong with the B's. All right.
Okay.
So you've got Basil Hayden. You've got Buffalo Trace is always a good standby.
Bullet. Yeah.
One of the oldest bourbons was the first bottled bourbon, I think. So if if you are a
Bullet
Deadwood
was?
Fan. They actually
they
have
Bullet.
They have Bullet bourbon in there because it was historically correct.
There's Buzzed. Oh, that's just what
There's,
I now am after
after
sip of
one,
that.
A sip of that. It's warm.
Yeah,
it's like
it's
drinking,
warm inside.
It's drinking a hug.
This eye won't open all the way,
drinking
though.
A hug.
That's a stroke, and you should seek medical attention.
Shit. Immediately.
But my top choice is Blanton's. Blanton's.
Yes, Blanton's.
You know exactly
what
this is.
With
the horses.
The horses.
And if you collect all of them, if you can actually spell
Blanton's
then they will send you a case by which to display. I've only known one person that's done that. Was Colin Moriarty. I've never met anybody else.
Sherlock's mortal enemy?
Moriarty. I got that.
Yes.
I got that.
Yes, he knows a fictional character. Troy knows a lot of people.
That sounds like something he would do.
So I go to this lovely little establishment that's just down the road from you guys. I'm like, oh, perfect. I'll just swing in. And I look up and I see the box. I'm like, kick ass. Is that an empty box or do you actually have it? He goes, no, I have it. I'm like, great. I will take that. He goes, okay. Unceremoniously just picked it up off the top shelf, brought it up to me, started ringing it up, and starts just punching in numbers randomly.
Right.
And I'm like, I should see a number pop up here.
And he goes,
it's $250. And I went, no, it isn't.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, it isn't. He might as well said, you know, this guy is purple. I'm like, no, it isn't.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, it isn't. He goes, yes, it is. I went,
no,
dude.
No, Blanton's like $65.
Right. Yeah. Thank you very much.
I know my bourbons, all right?
And I was like, yeah, this is like 66, maybe $70 if you're paying a liquor store. He was like, no, bro, this is $250. I went,
no, bro.
Yeah, it's actually not, man. I can show you. He goes, if you find a bottle of Blanton's for me for $60, he was like, bring 10 and I'll pay $160 for each of them.
Really?
And I went, okay. So, but he got like super aggro with me for no reason whatsoever. And he was like, you don't want it, it's fine. And he put it back up on the top shelf. And I was like, there's dust on that box.
Yeah,
you know that.
Never
like,
sold it.
You are terrible at doing what the intention of your business is
to push the product.
And I said, look, right next to his Basil Hayden, which is an equally great bourbon.
Yes.
$49.99. I was like, we'll do that bottle. So this is my, you guys are my second choice.
We so appreciate you spending $49.99 and coming to our podcast.
I think it's because you're wearing the scarf. You come and look like a rich guy.
This is what's so
funny.
It's
like, hey, I'll charge this guy.
I asked Allison, I was like, hey, is this radio or is this TV? She's like, a fucking radio, man. You can come in whatever. I'm like, cool. And I saw like eyes look at me like, this bitch knew it was just audio only. I was like, oh, I'm always
I've
like
seen
this.
You dress like
you're
this.
Exactly
no, I'm just saying, you are a snappy dresser.
The
I'm not.
Second
I
that
like
there's a six in front of the, or a one in front of the temperature outside, bitch, it's like a scarf and a jacket and a beanie.
Yeah, thank dude. You for being
I feel
accommodating.
Like, I got you, girl.
I feel like we have to do just like a quick recap for our listeners who might not know who you are.
Who the fuck is this guy?
No, I know.
I'd like to share how Troy and I first met.
Go.
Let's see who Troy is. Or unless that is tied into your story? Okay, great. Mod's got it.
It was Comic-Con 2014.
Oh, Jesus. Wonderful.
Yeah. So that's five and a half years ago.
Yeah.
Wow. I literally was about to be like, okay, so 2 years ago.
Nope.
Time
warp. Comatose.
So wrong.
Five and a half years ago. It was for Lego Batman.
It was.
Okay. Oh, I was doing all of the interviews throughout, which is where I actually met Freddie and another guest that we have coming on. It was a good year for me.
Good interviews.
And we had a spectacular interview. Did we know each other before that?
Wait,
even?
But why did you interview him?
Because he was a voice in the game.
This is
Lego
my whole
Batman.
Point. Is that
oh, you're trying
Baker,
to do a setup.
Yes. You are probably the voice of almost, like, everyone who plays video games, you've got to be the voice of at least one of their favorite characters.
Shadow of Mordor, Shadow of War. Yeah. Thank you for that, because you gave me a good 150, 160
Dude,
hours
I spent
of that.
So
you got me through a breakup.
Did I really?
Yeah. That's literally what I just told him. Wow. That's so weird.
Well, but actually, no. Yeah. You actually avoided it because of a breakup.
No. I didn't avoid it. I used it to get through the breakup because it was given to me by the person who broke up with me.
Right.
Yeah, my PlayStation 3 had been given to me by a guy who broke up with me, and he gave me all of the Uncharted games. There were only three of them at the time. And I didn't play it right away, but I only waited like a month, and then I was like, nope, you know what? I'm going to play through all of these games.
And
then that's what's going to get me through the breakup. And then I played Uncharted 4. Because are you in the first? You're only in 4.
Yeah. I'm the brother that always existed, but you never
knew about.
Oh, Nathan Drake's brother?
Yes.
That was so funny. I was like, wait a minute. I've played all the Uncharted. What do you mean he's always had an
brother.
Older brother?
Don't question it. Just take the job,
Troy.
Nolan's
old best brother.
I'm Nolan's older brother.
Oh, that's
fine. Oh, great.
So we've had Yuri Lowenthal on
who?
Drunksmith before. Yeah, but like he's someone else who like he has done voices in so many games. And I remember when we had Yuri on, and I was like, I know everyone wants to introduce you as a voice actor.
He's an actor.
But you're with you.
Exactly.
Like I finally just played through Last of Us, which we talked about on the show. And like one of the first things I thought when I played this game, I was like, this is the best fucking acting I have ever seen.
Thanks, man.
Not just in a video game, just in
I'm
like
I'm taking credit
life.
For that. It's an entire ensemble cast.
But I mean like you're a huge part. You and Ashley Johnson. Like, I mean, you carry the emotional arc of this entire game that you care about because of your two characters. And it's just like I get annoyed when people are like, yeah, but they're a voice actor. I'm like, go fuck yourself.
Well, they're not because they're using their entire body and it is a CG effect. And so,
well,
you are placed into
it. Especially
now
with motion capture, especially.
That's exactly it. And I was actually bringing up that clip with you. It went quite viral on Twitter. And it's this moment in when you are acting out The Last of Us. I believe it's with the character who's playing your daughter in it.
Yeah, Hannah Hayes.
She's dying in your arms. Yeah. And it is the most emotionally entrenching thing to watch. And, you know, you are in agony and she is laying still in your arms and she's weeping and you're just so raw with it all. And then, of course, you have to recalibrate because you're doing mocap. And so you both have to stand up and put your arms out in a T.
Yeah.
And she's weeping and you look like you'd seen your daughter die.
So I've told this story many times, but there's still people that haven't heard it, and
I
never tire of hearing this or talking about it, because that was the day that I
is gonna be deep.
That was not the day that I became an actor. That was the day I realized that I wasn't an actor. The day that I became an actor would be about a month later. So I get this gig, and I remember walking in to the audition, and I immediately, I don't know if you've ever been in this situation before, where if you're an actor or whatever, you walk in, and the guy is in the room already. Like, you're looking across, like, literally the character just got off the page and is sat in every chair around the room, and I walk in looking like a backup dancer for a K-pop band. I just did not look like Joel. It was bad. I had, like, True Religion jeans on. It was bad.
Ooh.
I remember those were a thing.
They were a thing, but it was too late after they were a thing that I was still wearing them. I consider myself a pretty fashionable person.
Right.
But that was the thing where I was like, I look back and I was like,
one of my biggest regrets is I just held on to those True Religions too long.
Yeah. I mean, it was dangerous the amount of reflection that was in my clothes. With like catching light. You should not be So I walk in and I go, oh, I've made a terrible mistake. And I had played Naughty Dog games before. I was a huge gamer. So I knew walking in, I was like, I know what room I'm in right now. And I remember taking a step back and literally putting, because I realized I hadn't signed in yet.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, I could leave. And
so you're talking about the guys you're in the waiting room with, like the guys you're auditioning against.
So where we shot and where we did the whole casting and everything was, it's now a parking lot with the one exception that they landmarked the original stage that Gone with the Wind.
But
the rest of Culver stages are gone. And we were, there's this little trailer house kind of off to the right that was the production office, and that's where we got changed and everything. And then right next to it, you walked a little short distance and went to the actual sound stage that they had converted into a performance capture stage with all the cameras and everything. So I walk in, and I look around the room, and I was like, I can leave right now, nobody would know. And so I kind of like stepped back, and I very like carefully put my hand on the doorknob behind me and just twisted and was turning to walk out and just slip out. And I hear someone go, Troy? And I went, yeah. And she was like, they're ready for you. And I'm like, awesome.
But I haven't signed in.
And so I literally just walked in. And
you're like, fuck it.
There's Gordon Hunt, Neil Druckmann, Bruce Straley.
Wow.
And I think Ryan James was there as well. And it's one of those things, I remember catching this. I walked in and Neil looked, and I just see him just write.
True Religion
genes. I think it was a much simpler, that would have required too much like penmanship. I think it was just a single mark out, like a single strike through. But we did, I remember walking in and I see Ashley kind of pacing over to the side, and I was like, man, that girl is in a bad way right now.
Was she already cast?
She was already cast. Okay. She was the first person to cast. So they were using her to cast off the rest of the cast. Casting.
Yes.
And I just walked over, I was like, can I give you a hug? And she goes, yeah. Aww. And she gave one of those things like, I'm laughing so I don't cry. And she had a really rough read right before.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Someone came in and really went for it.
Yeah.
So I gave her a hug and we went into the scene and they gave me some quick redirection and we did it again. And it was the second time that Neil, it was after my second take that Neil was like, that's our guy.
That's awesome.
Oh, so
he said it while you were in the room.
Negative.
No.
I was like,
just imagine they never do that for you.
I've actually had quick tangent. I've actually been in an audition before once where the creator told me, "You're not my guy," and I was like, "Thank you so much for that.
For letting me know now."
He goes like, "I don't want you to get on the parking lot and wonder. I want you to know what you did was great. I can't use you because you just aren't the guy."
Yeah, I've gotten roles before that after I get them and I'm on set, I find out that. Like, they're like, yeah, you did a good audition, but they go, it's the thing you did in between the two scenes when you like flitted over to grab the chair that we went, that's the person.
Yeah.
Like, it's the thing you do when you're not even trying to do the thing that
it's
makes
the
you,
difference between casting cast the character and casting the actor.
Yes.
Because you've already written the character. What you need to do is cast the actor. And I've seen a lot of people crush in an audition. And I've directed people before. I'm like, that person right now, the producers or whoever would be wowed over by someone's audition. Like, you don't understand. Watch this. And I go, yeah, you're not angry. You're sad. Or give them some different kind of task. Yeah. And you watch their wheels shoot off. I'm like, you sat all night last night and prepared, and you're not prepared, you're rehearsed. Because the difference between preparing is that I know who this character is inside and out, at least my version of it, which can be wrong and we can agree to disagree, but the difference between someone who's prepared and someone who's rehearsed is they have to sit down in the chair on that word in that line, and they have to reach for the drink at that beat, then they have to adjust their glasses. Because if you take, by the way, you're not in a chair, you're standing, you're like, their entire performance falls apart.
Yes, exactly. No, wait, speaking of you directing people, I just noticed you just were recently posting about, you're like crowdfunding a new
crowdfunded
kind of game.
Yeah.
Crowdfunded. Tell us about this.
Funded.
I'm excited about this because it
involves
other people.
Let's put a pin in that
because
I want to finish this conversation.
Yes,
yeah, we're all over the place.
Okay.
Thank you, Bourbon. But I won't forget about that.
That's what Drunksmith is.
So cut to, we're doing the scene with Sarah, and we had shot for maybe a year at that point.
Whoa.
So maybe it's in between six months and 12 months on that. And I had asked Neil Druckmann, the creative director and the writer and our director, hey man, give me a heads up. Don't throw that scene at me. Let me know what's going on. So he told us we typically would shoot. We would rehearse Wednesday, shoot Thursday, Friday.
Oh, nice.
And once a month. So the previous month, he said, just to give you a heads up, next month we're going to go for it. And I was like, it's the Sarah scene. I was like, okay.
Yeah. Jeez.
So I walk in, and I know it's going to be at the end of our day. And he was like, it's the next scene. Do you need a minute? I was like, yeah, give me a minute. And so I walked outside, and at that time I was still smoking, and I went back into the parking lot. And I had always heard about great actors, you know, attaching a scene to something that was grounded and real with them. And so I went into the recesses of my own memory and mind, and I was like, I know the one memory that I want to pull from. And what your mind does when it experiences trauma, and it goes, okay, we've dealt with this. We're going to lock this away and bury this in the ocean of your mind, and you never have to deal with it again.
Yep.
So I deep dove down, grabbed that fucker, and opened it up, and just without any framework, reference, structure, skill set, you know, that I thought Meryl Streep just inherently could tap into, I started doing that, and I went, oh, shit, and I walked in, and it was like, I have the worst analogy for this. I'm going to ruin this scene. I'm not even going to get into it. I was ready to explode.
Yeah.
From the take one. And so I walked in there, and action, and we get straight into the scene, and I lose my shit. Like, I just... And I was like, watch this, everybody. You will not believe the amazing actor that I am. Do you just go ahead and give me the BAFTA now?
Look at all the feels that I am feeling at this very moment.
And what you see in that clip is literally the moment of cut, T-pose, everybody. And I'm standing up. And I had in that clip, I had just heard Neil say, I want to go again.
Oh.
And I went... I wasn't prepared for that.
Yeah. Oh.
So we had to do it again. And now you're pimping that memory.
Yes.
And it feels false. And you feel weird.
It's
like,
icky.
Cut, T-pose, I want to go again. And we're 5, 6, 7 takes into this. Oh. And Hannah, bless her heart, is just, every time she's just giving all of it, but in from such a pure place. And finally, after the God knows how many takes, Neil goes, okay, I think we've got it. And we wrapped. I got out of my ridiculous skin suit, got into my car, drove to my house, walked into my bedroom, and didn't surface until the next day. I was exhausted.
Yeah.
Cut to a month later.
Yeah.
And Neil goes, catches me outside smoking. He goes, hey, great job today. He's like, thanks. He goes, I just want to let you know, next shoot, we're going to do a pickup of some stuff. I was like, cool.
No.
Oh, God.
And he looks at me and I went, you motherfucker, don't you dare. Oh. And he goes, we got to get it again.
Why?
My question too. You're ahead of me. So we get there. You know, the next shoot comes, and I'm already again. I'm walking into the dance already like half cocked and everything. And it was so great because Pam was my wife was there on that day to shoot.
Uh-oh.
I may be conflating two different memories, but I know for a fact she was there because she catches this one memory, and I have this picture that she took of Neil and I. She's behind us, and so it's Neil and I's back, and we're in the middle of this conversation, the conversation that we're having, because we reshoot that scene. Hannah's there, I'm there, and I'm mad at Neil. Mm. And the first take goes down. He goes, okay, cut. I want to go again. Two, cut. I want to go again. Three, and he walks over to me, and Neil has this very specific way of giving notes. He walks up to you very timidly, and he kind of rotates out on the outsides of his feet, and he'll have a notepad and a pen, and he'll look at his writing, his notes, and he goes, I'm picking up on some resistance.
Oh, God.
That's really good, like intuitive.
You're like, no, you're not.
And he's like, he's so. I've learned so much from him as a person and as a director about his approach. And I was like, you're goddamn right. You're picking up on some resistance because you're wasting my time or the crew's time. We have this in the can. Yeah. You're gonna waste everybody's time. Go back and go. Ah, should have gone with take one.
Yeah.
And he goes,
well, you gave it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You
right.
gave everything.
And he goes, here's what I have now. I have a man broken. And I went, yeah.
Yeah.
His daughter just died. He goes, what I don't have is. What's happening? This is happening. I can fix it. It's not working. She's going. She's gone. I'm broken.
That's,
and I went, fuck. Right.
Having just played through that scene, I'm like, yeah.
This is why I'm a writer, not an actor.
And what he said was, he made this so simple observation. He goes, do you know that you've not once in any of the takes have you ever just looked at her.
Really?
I was all over the place.
Oh, wow.
I was screaming to the heavens, and I'm looking back to Tommy, and I'm so eyes closed, crying. It was just look at her. Yeah. And I think about it now, man. I could not do that scene. I have a 19-month-old son. There's no way. There's no way I could do that work. That scene found me when I could do it and when I needed to do it in my life. But the first time, that's when I found out I wasn't an actor. And that day that we reshot it, that's when I became an actor. I was like, man, I've got a lot to learn. So there's a lot that's found. There's a lot that's found in the beauty of that scene in that game.
Wait, your son also has like the coolest name ever.
Traveler Hyde, man.
Yeah, what? Can we talk? How did
that? That's brilliant. I didn't know
you
that.
You didn't know that?
No.
So,
oh, yeah. Every time I see him post about him on Instagram, I'm like, that's his son's name.
No, because he said 19 months ago. I haven't been around for 19 months, literally.
So we knew that we want Hyde Park is a really big deal for Pam and I.
In London.
In London. We've had some great memories there. And so we knew that Hyde was somehow going to be, it was just a cool name.
Yeah.
It was like,
you were not at all concerned about Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Not in the least, because I was like, that's kind of cool.
Actually, not Mr. Hyde's the good one. The good one,
the nerdier one.
The nerdier
one, Dr. Hyde.
That's the one that's the coke addict that becomes Dr. Jekyll, by the way.
Good call.
We're sitting there in our kitchen and we're bouncing back different names and I'm uber pretentious and I'm like, I was really into Ralph Waldo Emerson at the time. I was like, maybe Emerson is a cool name.
Yeah. I like it. I went to school.
And I was like, I had no idea. And we're sitting there in our kitchen. I remember exactly where I was. Our kitchen is kind of in the shape of a U. And so Pam's kind of at the end of the U and I'm on the inside of the U. And she's like, I want it to be a name that we'd like appropriate. It's not an actual name, but it's like a verb that we turn into a name.
Okay.
And I was like, cool. I was like, it has to be something that's important to us. And we've always like, that's my travel buddy. We've literally seen the world.
Yeah.
She's like, something like traveler. And she said it, and I looked at him and I was like, we're not going to name our son Traveler.
Yes,
Traveler.
You are.
Name our son Traveler. And we sat with it for the longest time. And we went back and forth about it, and now it's just like, dude, we call him. Like, you see the tattoo? It's like I've got a tattoo on my left arm. This great tattoo artist here in LA did a single needle. It's a monkey that he freeform did, and he did the same one on my wife's right arm. So then we hold arms. We look super gross.
super awesome.
We call him Monkey or Traveler. Traveler High, T Boy. But it's the best. He's the best age right now because I'll point. I go, who's that? He goes, Mama. It's like, who am I? He goes, Didi. It's like, who's that? He goes, Brother for our dog 8-Bit. I was like, and who are you? He goes, Traveler. And he raises his arm. He goes, Traveler. I'm like, yeah, dude, you got a great sense of who you are right now. Or if we say, who's Monkey? He was like, Traveler. And he's like, he knows.
I want kids.
Dude. Also, 8-Bit.
Oh, no.
I want kids.
What did you call it from last episode?
You want kids?
Or Clocky. The first episode? Yeah.
Clocky. You're getting Clocky.
You do want kids.
Yeah.
All right,
Mom. All right.
Give me a few more drinks. We'll make this happen.
Yeah.
We made a joke about this earlier, but I really don't believe that, you know, calling someone a pussy is a pejorative at all.
Yeah.
It's actually a great compliment. I watched my wife go through 40 hours of active back labor.
She's also like a foot shorter than I am, and you're 2 feet taller than me.
So she's like 5'2", 5'3".
Oh, wow.
She gets upset about a boo-boo hangnail. And 40 hours active back labor at home, no drugs.
At
really?
Home?
Fuck yeah, girl.
In the tub. In like the
dude, first of all, that's a great sure. Why not?
I don't know.
We did birthing tub. In and out
birthing
of the tub.
Birthing tub is what I meant to say. Yeah,
like we did shower, bathtub, birthing chair, both toilets.
Yep.
She did a 5K the day that he she walked a total of 3.1 miles.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's your fire, but if you want babies, I have no advice for you. I just have encouragement and facts. And the fact is this, you could go into a cave and have this baby. Like you don't need anybody or anything to make this happen, because if that wasn't true, we would not be here.
Yeah.
It's the easiest and most beautiful thing. So anytime anyone goes, you're a pussy, I'm like, dude, thank you.
So we
do people
have...
call you pussy a lot, by the way?
Somebody was like, you pussy. I was like, look where you dress, you pussy. I'm like, you mean I am the most beautiful, amazing thing in the world that is capable of emerging humans?
Which, by the way, that guy probably really loves.
This has actually been a very recent conversation on our podcast, and we say instead of saying someone needs to man up because it's not the same.
No.
We say we now need to what?
Fortified.
Fortified.
That's our drinking word for the day. So you need to fortify.
Way to squeak that one in.
No, that was good.
News for me this year, I am the voice of AI technology that is happening.
Oh, yes. So we did talk about this on the podcast.
Sorry? Mm. What? What does this mean?
There is a company that is developing AI.
China.
Actually, Australia
Skynet?
And New Zealand.
Is it Skynet?
I wanted it to be. And actually,
they're finally working together. Good for them.
Yeah. Once I'd gotten the job, I was like, is there any way for this technology to go rogue? And, you know, start killing
Skynet,
people.
You know, start
and
killing
they were like,
people.
Absolutely not. And I said, that's really unfortunate to hear because I really wanted to be the last voice that people heard.
Oh, before they died?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you have a calming voice. It's like,
hello.
I could die now.
I, for one, welcome our robot overlords.
Yes. So. I've been saying it for 7 years now, and I've got it on multiple different data
Until
points.
Until the machines can tell our GPSs how to not tell us how to make left-hand turns on busy streets without traffic lights, we're fine.
Yeah.
The robots
aren't
talking about
it. Look, Elon Musk was the one who said it. He was like, we're already cyborgs. We're just very inefficient at it.
But we have an extension.
Yeah,
we have literally a computer in our hands.
We have to take a quick break to thank some listeners who have sent food. What just got sent to us, Arisa? Well, while you're figuring that out, I have to do an adorable shout out to my boyfriend who during the break had foo sent. So my boyfriend and I have a thing where like we only really eat chicken Caesar salads together. Mm-hmm. So he sent a chicken Caesar salad. But the other thing that I also always eat is mussels. So he sent mussels in like a white wine sauce.
That's a great sentiment that should not be actually digested.
I texted him being like, you sent mussels. So we have a thing of like mussels sitting in broth. I'm sure the restaurant he got it from is like, really? You want mussels delivered?
Okay.
Yeah.
Who do you hate?
I know. No.
Also, there's a note in there saying, I want to break up.
Bye.
Do you know?
Do you have another series of games coming out? Because I have to play through. Wait, so what else did we get?
We got pizza from a Patrick Coleman from Chicago.
Chicago.
True Chicago style pizza
From Pablo in Austin, Texas. He sent us some fudge covered Oreos, some marshmallows.
Oh, shit.
Some Oreo thins and some double stuffed Oreos.
Pablo was super high when he sent all of these things.
Yeah.
They need all the essentials, man. They need Cheez-Its.
Like most people need to be super high when they listen to this podcast anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Good. Thanks,
before
guys,
you take a break, do you know
the
etymology of Caesar dressing? It's a beautiful story.
No.
So
like Caesar who got murdered.
Negative.
Okay.
Got it. Maybe that was what he named it after, but
Caesar Romero.
Literally there was a restaurant where people were ordering salads. They ran out of salad dressing and they were like, we have people that are ordering. This was like 150 years ago. It was a crazy amount of time ago. I could be wrong about the year, but it doesn't matter.
In Italy?
Huh?
In Italy?
I believe it was in Italy and the chef was out of ingredients and was like, well, you have to make some kind of dressing. And so he literally threw together what he had. And it was the ingredients of, it was like the worst combination ever. Anchovies and like
mayonnaise
and buttermilk
like
and shit like that.
Yes.
So it's, and people absolutely loved it. And he never patented the recipe.
No.
So sometimes
curses.
The best things that people
Pilates,
love are
Pilates
are
was never patented either.
Really?
What's it named after then? What's Pilates, the name come from?
It could even be the person's name, and if it's not, it was just like something that they'd created, they never patented it, and so everyone
patented
can do it.
What about like so? Also, buffalo wing sauce was created the same way.
Really?
In Buffalo, New York. It's like they just threw it together in a.
Why is it called Buffalo?
It's Buffalo, New York.
Buffalo, New York
is where it was introduced.
Oh, here I am as a foreigner, being like, all right, is it because it's got horns and you ram it down your throat? I don't understand.
I think buffalo sauce would be great on a salad. Now that we're talking about salads.
I'm sure that salad exists.
Some people think the cilantro tastes like soap.
I love 15%. Cilantro.
Oh, yeah.
Jen hates
it. Okay, I'm not in that 15%, but I'm in the probably much smaller percentage of people that think that wing sauce is goddamn noxious. And it's
I agree. No, I am totally with
you.
I will eat the like... You know, like the sweet and sour ones or whatever. But
great.
The spicy buffalo sauce, I'm like, whoa.
It's just wing sauce. And I remember specifically, it was a very cold December day in Dallas, Texas, where a friend of mine got wings to go from TGI Fridays. So already this conversation is the saddest.
Why would you not get the Jack Daniels then? TGI Fridays is known for one
why
good
would we
thing,
go to TGI
Jack
Fridays? No, TGI Fridays is
right,
a great place for
go,
like people after five who are like, I just hit on Deb in accounting and I shouldn't have been. That's where people from TGI Fridays
Deb
go.
Deb in accounting.
Go do your break.
Yeah. No, we're not taking a break. I was saying we're taking a break to thank the listeners. We're not taking a break from you.
Yeah, oh, shit. All right.
So I want to go back to this show that you just crowdfunded.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah.
As far as I know, Laura Bailey, who's also a dear friend of mine, is the
Laura
lead.
Bailey's our lead.
Yeah.
So we've talked a little bit about what the experience is going to be. Austin Wintry, who is my dream partner, like he and I just constantly, he's the best sounding board that I've ever had because I make his ideas better and he makes mine infinitely better.
Yeah.
So we've been trying to find a way to do a musical as a game for the longest time.
Oh, cool, yeah.
The challenge is how do you not make it Guitar Hero, to where the better that you play, the better that you do. Yeah. Nobody wants to do that. So cut two, we found this amazing company in Melbourne. Summerfall Studios, Liam Essler, and David Gator. David Gator's actually in Vancouver. David has got a great pedigree. He wrote for Dragon Age. I mean, so he's used to like these big characters building, world building, relationship building within video games.
Yeah, I've had so many boyfriends in Dragon Age. Thank you. And, well, then and girlfriends.
Get ready. So what we decided to do is they decided to create an interactive game that uses music as a mechanic. So you there's a specific protagonist that Laura Bailey will play, and depending upon your relationship with each character within this world, determines the branching narrative of the game.
Ooh, that's so cool.
That's really
not only are we trying to create a game, we're trying to create a game that's a musical and trying to create that with branching dialogue.
And where do you see this game? Easy. Like, what platform does this game exist on, or will you?
All platforms every time.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, this will be cross platform. Yeah. I think this thing would play great on mobile, personally.
Yeah.
But I do a lot of stuff on mobile. But for sure, we're going to be out.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, what are you thinking? Switch?
I can sing, Troy.
Girl, let's go. Let's make ourselves a game.
I'm just saying, you need some more singers?
The beauty of it is we announced this thing on Fig, and within, like, I think it was 2 weeks before, like, right up to the end, but right before the campaign closed, we crossed over the line. They raised over $500,000, over $610,000 towards getting this thing funded. Yeah. And so it caught wind and fire a little bit from, like, Hollywood Reporter and some different people. GameStop, I think, was really cool. And they latched onto it. And then what was great is that... dear friend of both Austin and I, Anthony Rapp, who of Rent fame.
I heard of him.
Reached out, he's like, hey, can I be in this? I'm like, dude, absolutely. Like, and then we got people from Dear Evan Hansen. We got people were like, hey, I want to be in a musical. So if it goes the way that we want to, then this is going to be an amazing collaboration between Broadway games.
That's a untapped market.
Yeah, absolutely.
Untapped.
So did we just get a delivery, we have to think?
We'll thank it.
Thank it
real quick.
Thank it. Yeah, right, yeah.
Thank him.
We got to wrap this up.
We will.
Thank
him.
Troy's got a family to get back to. We just got a delivery of some Domino's from Jose Quiroga.
Oh my
gosh. Q-U-I-R-O-G-A.
That's awesome.
You guys are awesome. They're getting
this, Jose.
This is the only reason we survive drinking during 12 episodes.
Yeah, you just gave us a shot after we drank champagne.
I know. I was telling myself I wasn't going to drink any hard liquor.
Well, it's not a shot, Tom. You sip it, buddy.
Did you
shoot it?
I don't sip. I shoot it.
Oh, I've just been sipping mine.
Talk to Jen. She knows that I don't sip. I would chug.
For whiskey, the rule is a second for every year aged, right? So hold it in your mouth. If it's a 12-year-old scotch, hold it in your mouth for 12 years. That's how you get two fingers to last you a while as opposed to just slamming it.
I didn't actually slam it. I had a few sips. But normally, I know it's good. I know this is actually a good brand, but normally,
really
give me some stuff and I will shoot it. Because
real quick, before we lose you, because we did talk a lot about Last of Us. Last of Us 2 is slated to come out May of 2020.
May, yeah. We're looking at May 20.
It's gonna be May.
I cannot wait, especially now that I finally played through the
first one.
I'm doing it. Let's click it.
Well, we've ruined the first 15 minutes.
Sorry. You tell us, is there anything, I mean, I know you clearly can't tell a storyline or anything like that, but what are you excited about for this second game?
Loyalties.
Jesus.
I know what
I'm excited about is we're finally going to answer the question of whether or not we should have made a sequel.
Oh,
interesting.
And
because the first game ends with a not necessarily a cliffhanger, but I want to know where this story goes from here.
And there's been a lot of world building the last 5-7 years that the game has come out, to where people have been taken and extrapolated. Joel is the character I look back and I go, I want to know what he's been up to and where he is.
Yeah.
So we're definitely going to answer that question. It is something that, that everyone at Naughty Dog, but especially with Neil Druckmann, everything that he does, not only is it done with excellence and passion, but it's done with honesty. Mm-hmm. And it's there is no sycophantic bone in him at all. Yeah. There is a story that needs to be told, and Neil allows himself to be that conduit for which it can be told. It's going to be, people are going to either love it or hate it, but that's the same thing as the first game.
Yeah. Who hated the first game?
There are a lot of people that
because I have a particular set of skills.
I have a particular set of skills. I will find you. Yeah. I will beat you. And I will be in the sequel. God.
He might be See, better. See, Maude, he might.
I do. No. Challenge, Maude. Her Liam Neeson's was incredible.
To be fair, not a man.
True.
Wait, just to be fair.
Yeah. That's pretty good for a girl.
For a girl.
The worst thing to hear.
Yeah.
That was great. You throw like a girl. Thank you.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Listen, with the birth of Lizzo, we all understand that being a girl is way cooler. Wait, can you real quick just do a plug about the show you do with Nolan?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Because Nolan North.
And your new podcast with my bud Alana.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, man, you got all sorts of shit going on. Plug all your shit right now, please.
So,
plug
Nolan,
your shit.
Nolan North and I, two guys in their 40s, decide, hey, it was time for us to do something on the internet.
Like you guys probably encapsulate, I mean, I'm exaggerating, but like 80% of the video.
Fortify.
Aristotle just made us Fortify.
I love it. This is my favorite Aristotle.
I finished my Basil Hayden. Hold on.
Real friends don't let... go for it. So
splash of that.
This bottle is staying with you guys. So by
no,
all
no,
means.
No, it's very going sweet. Home with me.
Oh, understood.
Tom picked up today.
So Nolan and I decided... because the reason that we started doing a lot of this was because Nolan has never played games, and I think that's just an atrocity.
Really?
For the fight.
That's insane to me.
What?
Yes.
He's never played anything, especially the games he's
how
ever
old
been
is he?
When 49.
When I met Nolan.
He's so good looking.
Because Nolan.
I like
single?
Younger guys.
Is he single?
But I remember when I first met him, I was just like.
Nolan's a good looking dude. No,
you know, like the day you realize you're an actor? Mm. The day I met Nolan North was the day I realized I could go older.
You go older?
Yeah.
For sure.
Every other time, women. Like I'm getting younger and younger
but
as
so,
the years go
so
on.
So I met Nolan because he was my co-star on Con Man, which is that show that's that right, I do with Nathan Fillion and Alan Tudyk. And I just remember meeting him and being like, yo, you're the guy who plays like all the characters that I fucking love in these video games.
And
he's like,
cool.
And
a lot of ones that he hates.
but he's like, I've never played them. And I'm like, I don't understand that.
It's
maybe you have gamer genes, though. Like, some people grew up playing it. Some people go, it's time for me to move on. Exactly.
Right. He did sports and
was he a jock?
Yeah.
But he wasn't a jock. He was,
I hate those jocks.
No, he was kind of a nerd. Yeah. But then he was just always kind of the funny man, but he never got into games. And so he's also spent the
probably
majority
the
of his adult life just working his ass off.
Yeah.
So now he's like, all right, I want to know what this is all about. He knows the story, but he's never been with like stick in hand, been able to
the
go like, understand.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we needed to give a foundation. So we sat down of like, here's where, if you want to play Uncharted, you need to understand where Uncharted came from. So where do you start? We start Atari and then we go to NES and then we go Super NES. Yes, we go Sega. And so we're now, I think we just released our 75th episode.
And the show's called Retro
Replay. Retro Replay, Replay on YouTube. And we've done 75 episodes where every Thursday we come together, we sit on a couch and we play through old school games. But really it just becomes a backdrop for a podcast. And the beauty of it is that we have an unwritten rule that we don't get off the couch until we learn something about each other. So after 2 years and 75 episodes, we still learn something about each other.
I haven't watched every episode, but I have watched a few, obviously. And one of my favorite things that I learned about you, and this is before you and I actually met, but I heard this story and I was like,
what?
Me and this guy are going to get along real well.
What's that?
It's you told a story about how you went up to Big Bear or Mammoth.
Yeah.
One of the two ski towns
Big
around
Bear.
Here. Big Bear. Yeah. And you lost a wad of cash in a grocery store, went back home, realized you lost the wad of cash, went back to the grocery store.
They had it.
They had it because Jim Carrey returned it.
Oh, what?
Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey found the wad of cash in the grocery
That's
store
amazing.
And returned it and was like, this is not mine.
But Jim doesn't need it.
You think about it, like anybody on this planet who finds, because it was like a lot. It was like $500 or something.
No. It was way more than that.
Oh, was it?
It was a lot more than that.
Yeah.
It was a couple of grand. Because we had a bunch of cash. Look, we go to the
story.
I love your face. Maude's face right now is like, this is a fever dream.
She's like, do you have a brother?
And are you sure those weren't pot cookies?
Yeah.
All right, so very briefly, because I know I'm going over my time, and you guys have been incredibly gracious. So get this.
Our next guest is late, which is surprising.
Oh,
for our
kick
next
ass!
Guest.
Until they kick me out, I'm going to keep talking.
Man. Great. Yeah.
So every year for Thanksgiving, we just celebrated. I think this is our 9th year. Pam and I go up, and it's looked different every year. There have been everything from we have like a gourmet chef come in and is like, today I'm actually doing this turkey reduction stuff. It's incredible, dude.
What?
Two.
This is the kind of money you make doing video games?
No.
He had thousands of dollars in his pocket.
Honestly, it was just a friend who had like the sous chef from like this great restaurant in Nomad that was like, here, I'm going to teach you how to cook everything. It was just, we always get a really good house and we shack up and we just don't do anything. We've done that all the way to getting super high watching Wizard of Oz on an iPad with Red Baron pizzas.
Wait, with Pink Floyd playing or no?
Oh God, no! It was Wizard of Oz. I was just we couldn't have managed that.
No,
because I remember looking at it and going, I've never seen this. Like, no, I don't think anybody's ever seen this before. Like this poor girl. I was like, I was too high.
We have to tell someone.
It was great. We need to tell someone. She's stuck here.
We have to report this.
The shoes are amazing. So we've had my moments like that, and everything in between. There's been people that have come with us, and people that we've done it by ourselves. And it's like we wear robes, and that's it.
Nice.
So I could do that. Now that we have Traveler, it's a little different, right?
Right.
So this year it's a little different.
A little.
Can't get too high.
This year was great. It's like 99. Daddy's going to join you in just a little bit. David, who is our, we call him our oxygen tank. He's our assistant. He looks after Traveler. He's everything to us. David went up there with us. We got 5 feet of snow. We were snowed in for 2 days. Yeah. It was great. We went on amazing hikes. Traveler got to play in the snow. 8-bit got to play in the snow. He was running through snowdrifts.
What
a little
kind
50
of dog's 8-bit?
He's an 8-bit. He's a...
He's an 8-bit.
Big square.
He's
a little,
he looks like square.
Chihuahua meets Papillon, 15-pound. Awesome.
Yeah.
And he was just like, Dad, look at me. And he's just like jump into a snowdrift and immediately disappear. but last year, we go up there. Traveler is 6 months old or 5 months old. We go up there. I go down to down the mountain to the Vons, and I have all of our cash.
I've been to that Vons.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
That's why when you started telling the story, I was like, I know this grocery store.
I have my coat on, and it's insanity. There's just carts spilling into like two lanes because they can only open two people at all that give a fuck about working there on that night. and I load up, and I've got a car, and I can't get a hold of Pam. And I'm just paranoid. I'm a paranoid dad, and I can't remember what's going on. And so I'm like moving a rush, and I realize that I don't have my wallet on me. And so I'm like, fuck. So I also realize that I don't have the cash on me either.
You're like, what the fuck?
So I had to leave all my groceries. I had to go back up the mountain. I can't get a hold of her the entire time. I walk in. She's passed out on the couch. And I'm like, motherfucker. I was just like enraged. Because I was so scared. I was so scared that something had happened to him.
Yeah. This has been a theme in our
I've had that recently, and you had that this morning.
Like, when you love
like,
something
literally,
so
like,
Maude
was 10 minutes late, and I was like, she died. What are we going to do?
That shows love, right? That is just like, man, I imagine the worst thing. And
I was buying an old woman her groceries.
Yeah, and then she told the story, and I was like, never mind. That's the
best
reason to
be late. That's why you're named Maude, by the way. That's just because you are from another time thrown into ours, and we're blessed to have you. Look, when you love something that much, and it's tied to a lot of stuff of like fear that I'm not enough, and that I have to keep just right before that. Again, short story. I remember explicitly telling Pam, "We are not going to have kids, and this is never going to end in marriage."
Oh wow!
Oh wow!
Yeah, and she's like, "Okay, cool."
You did this great tweet about that where it was like celebrating Traveler, and you're just like, "This wasn't supposed to happen, but it was the best thing that ever did happen."
Absolutely!
Oh my
Thank
gosh,
you for
that's
proving
amazing.
Me wrong. And it was because I was afraid. I was afraid that I couldn't be a good dad, and I was afraid that. And then when I met Pam, and I told her that she had this fucking cat named Grace.
Oh, no.
And
Grace.
I was like, God damn
Ferris
it.
Bueller, you get that?
You love the cat.
Grace! So Grace Rony. Was a Rony. Bitch because she was a cat.
Cat! Yeah. I'm not a cat person. Thank you. Sorry if we're offending anyone, but my sentiments are aligned with yours.
I get it, but you fell in love with this cat.
So she came up to me. She's like, sup? And I'm like, what? She's like, just touch me real quick. Just like scratch my hair. I'm like, fuck. All right. And that became my baby girl.
Really?
Yep.
Right before Big Bear last year, we lost Grace.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
It's all good. It's like she was like, fuck you guys, I'm out of here.
Did Grace and 8-Bit know each other?
They were best friends.
I was going to say, that's almost better. Like when you kind of like, when the pets like transition each other. you know?
Yeah,
like when
I mean,
you have the one pet and then you get a new pet and then your old pet's like, you know what? I now trust you enough. You got them.
Handing the baton.
My time to go.
That's definitely the way that they, I think more than anything, it was like we had Traveler and Grace was like, all right, everything that I could have done here, I'm gone.
I truly believe that our pets leave us. If they're not taken from us in some horrific accident, like they get hit by a car. When like pets leave us when they know that we are ready to be left.
Look,
like something has fulfilled that.
I love that notion. Yeah. I would even take it a step further because I've experienced that one as well. And that was one of the most monumental moments of my life when I had my dog Buckley and same thing happened with him. Got hit by a car and died in my arms.
Oh God.
Oh my God, was that your Joel moment?
Who knows? Look, there is a universal order in nature of things, right? It's not like everything that's supposed to be, it's supposed to happen, has happened, but kind of.
Yeah.
Because
no, I
the purpose of the universe is to sustain itself. So everything that happens is done in the intention of, otherwise we're going to implode.
Yeah.
So that means there is no good, there is no bad, there just simply is. So when I look at, and Grace left us quickly, like it happened at like 6:30 in the morning, all of a sudden something was weird with her. We went to this thing and this guy was like, she's not gonna make it. We went to our vet and we're like, fuck you. We went to our vet and he was like, I love you guys, I care about it. I've known this vet for years. Mm-hmm. He like carried me through the whole Buckley situation too. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I love you guys, but I love her more and I can't allow her to be like this.
Wow.
So she's like, say your goodbyes, and we said our goodbyes. It was awesome. Okay. I got to tell her everything I wanted to tell her. And we left. Mm-hmm. So that's like 2 weeks before Thanksgiving. Yeah. So I am like super. Hey, everybody. Merry Trunkmas.
No, this is
I
great.
Love that you guys are sharing this with me.
I'm into this.
Oh, we're all glistening?
I know. Yeah. I'm just like, oh,
I'm about
sorry.
To breach, by the way. So, left eye. Left eye's like.
I can feel you're about to do a Denzel Washington right now.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's the way he's one of the best actors. He's like, wait for it. I'm going to close up.
Yeah.
Drop. Bam. There it is. And
okay,
that's how you get an Oscar.
Totally Fortify. We have to take a drink.
Because we're a bit soft right now because we're like little ball sacks. Yeah, okay, fair.
So
what's wrong with little ball sacks?
You cut to this moment.
And sensitive.
Yes.
You cut to this moment where I'm like.
You've now just lost a wad of cash. You couldn't get in touch with your wife and your baby.
And I lost my baby girl. I'm like, everything is proving right.
Yes.
I'm not capable of being
a dad. Oh,
and I'm not deserving of all this. Oh. But the reality is. She was asleep on the couch.
Yeah.
And Traveler was asleep and he was fine.
And Jim Carrey had your back.
And Jim Carrey had my back. So the true story about this is that I called down to the Vaughns and I was like, and the next day I was like, look, I know for beyond a shadow of a doubt that this, you're not going to find this as a bud. Did anybody happen to leave? Or happen to find some cash? And the response was not what I anticipated. She was like, how much cash? And I told her the amount, and it was like $2,500 or something like that.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, that's a lot of cash.
And she said, "Do you know the denomination of the bills?" I was like, "Yeah, it was majority of it were hundreds, and probably the rest of it would be 20." She was like, "Okay, I have it.
Wow,
it's in the office, and you can come pick it up whenever you're ready." I was like, "I'll be right down there." So I go down there, and there Paul is one of the checkers that's like always there, and he wasn't there this
Paul.
Year because. You know Paul?
No, I'm just saying. That's the perfect name for the guy who's
Paul.
Always there. Paul.
He's out for like knee surgery or whatever, but he was like, go see the office. And I walked in. He kind of has like this weird look on his face. And I walk over and she was like, so can you tell me anything else? I was like, my name is Troy Bakers. Let me see your ID, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So she goes, here it is. And she hands me this envelope. And I was like, who in the world on Thanksgiving turns over $2,500?
You know, like, here's the thing. I would, because I wouldn't be able to live with the guilt, but... I'm not saying I wouldn't maybe shave off a little. You know what I mean?
There's also...
Like a finder's fish.
Sure.
You know?
But there's also like
there's no way I would pick it up and 10%. Be like, it's all mine. Yeah,
right. And there's some super shady people that
Who
are,
would?
Come on, that are up
Who
in the mountain for
would?
Like Thanksgiving. There's people that are up there, you know, getting high watching Wizard of Oz with Red Baron pizzas.
There's people that would say, this is fate that I've
no,
found.
No, exactly, exactly.
This is
it's
God's
their
will.
Christmas miracle.
Yeah.
Right? I can't believe I found this.
Now that I'm being perfectly... I don't think I would actually shave a little off. I would turn it in, but I would turn it in with my contact info. Oh, so if that person wanted to do something, they could.
Yeah. I'm going to leave it to you.
Yes.
That's the most passive aggressive. I'm not saying you have to give me money. Yeah.
But you wouldn't have it without me.
The standard the standard is 10% finder's fee.
This is only the shit I admit after two glasses of Basil Hayden. So
I'm sitting there and I go, I was like, who does this? And she said, I had to look at him twice. And I went, okay. She's like, because of a he had this beard.
Yeah.
The last 10 years haven't been great.
Yeah.
Or they have been.
Yeah.
Have you seen these documentaries?
Fuck. I watched that and I was like, God damn it.
Oh my God. But
wait.
Is it because I watched
the Andy Kaufman one?
Hold on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But finish this woman's story.
So I was like, who? I was like, who was it? She goes, Jim Carrey. And I went, and then of course everybody says the same thing. He was like, the Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
Because there could be other ones. And she's like, no, Jim Carrey, he owns the body shop down the... And I was like, Jim Carrey? She's like, yeah. I was like, that's who turns in 25 motorbikes. He was like, this is an annoyance. I have so much money. Yeah. The documentary, if you watch it, super weird tangent, is only fascinating in literally the last 3 seconds.
Oh.
Because it's, to me,
that
I watched this.
That actually makes me want to watch it more.
I'm not going to tell you anything.
It's good. Yeah, don't.
I went, motherfucker, on the last 3 seconds. I'm almost like a verbal
really?
Kid, Usual Suspects
to think
moment.
What this is.
Well, did you watch two Firefest documentaries
yes.
that came out?
Yes.
So I watched them in the order. I think I watched Netflix first, and then I went to Amazon. And like you watch Netflix, and you're like, this
Hulu,
is fucked up. And then you go to, is it Hulu?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Hulu. That's
And then you go to Hulu, and you're like, the Hulu one is super generic, whatever. I got way more out of it. The Netflix one is way better.
That's when you find out about the BJ.
But then you find out in the last 2 minutes of the Hulu one, a fact that makes you go, what the fuck?
Yeah.
On the Netflix one.
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
the same thing where you're like, shit. Oh, this is totally worth it for just this very end.
Yeah.
But then there's another thing with Jim Carrey, though, that's like a short that is about him painting. And he was like, my world, I became a painter because my world needed color. And I'm like, holy shit, man. It is a beautiful thing that he does. If you ever get the chance, that watch the documentary is fine, but I feel like you hired this film crew, didn't you? And this is your documentary that you're making. But then you watch this other thing, and he's like, has nothing to do with acting, has everything to do with
Did he accidentally leave his mic on when he went to the bathroom and admit to murdering all of his ex-wives in the mirror?
Come on, girl. You know the talk?
That would
be
amazing.
Yeah.
That was one of the best.
Jinx, right?
The jinx. The jinx.
Oh, that is okay.
You guys are incredibly kind to have me.
Thank you for wrapping up our podcast.
Dude, yeah, no, thank you for coming in.
Wait, can you please tell everyone where they can find you?
Find me. This Nolan and I started doing this thing where we start giving each other socials out,
That's
and every
cute.
Time oh. I fuck it up. But you can follow my dear friend Nolan North at. you can find me on Twitter, Troy Baker, VA, like Victor Alpha, because I'm weird and I know the NATO phonetic alphabet. or Instagram, official Troy Baker.
You'll see adorable pictures of Traveler. Yeah.
Yes, man.
And keep an eye out. What's the musical video game called?
It's called Chorus. So we're starting development, so who knows? Year and a half, maybe.
And Last of Us 2, May 2020.
Last of Us Part 2 comes out in May. Avengers comes out in May.
Oh, that's right, you have that too.
No, I wish.
No,
Jesus.
Is
Travis Thor?
Travis is Thor. Travis Willingham is Thor because he was made to be Thor, except for the brown hair.
No, you're...
I'm Bruce Banner, dude.
Dude,
it's fucking... It's such a cool angle on Bruce.
My buddy Jeff Shine is Captain America.
Jeff Shine? Let me, if nothing else, if this is the only thing that I get to say as my close, besides my socials and my plugs for Retro Replay on YouTube. Jeff Shine has been one of the greatest discoveries that I am looking for opportunities to work
That's
with him
awesome.
Because he is
because
one
I
of the most talented
the video
people.
Game voice actor world is very tight knit.
Super tight.
Yeah, it's like we all know the names of the people who do the stuff, and then Jeff sort of like found a way in, and he's been fantastic in there.
He is incredibly. He's a wonderfully gifted actor and an even better human. Like I really really dig him as a dude.
That's awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Troy. For what is this episode 3?
3.
Oh shit!
Yeah, slow down, Alex.
I know. I'm like, this feels like a solid episode.
I'm actually
six
the
or
devil.
Seven.
Is like, I've given you bourbon for the rest of the day.
I have the tolerance.
If you
want to
email us at halfhourhappyhourfans@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at halfhourhappyhr. Please subscribe to us, rate us, and leave us. We still have not
you're in
done
reviews.
A
reviews.
On
Here's
iTunes.
A review. This thing was awesome.
Yay! 5 stars
on whatever you listen to us on: iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, all of it. That is it for day 3 of Drunksmith 2019. I'm Allison Hazlett.
I'm Lord Garrett.
Thank you, Tom, for sitting in with us. Krajewski. Thank you, Troy.
Thanks, Troy.
My pleasure.
Thank you for your Basil Hayden.
Yeah.
Star Fans Avenue, a podcast network.